Track 14, Wild William Wyndham. The life of the heir of Felbrick Hall was a scandalous riches-to-rags story, as Margaret Brecknell reveals.
One of the Victorian era's most notorious court cases ended 160 years ago. In 1862, when William Frederick Wyndham, heir to Felbrick Hall in Norfolk, was declared to be of sound mind and capable of managing his own affairs. The case attracted huge public interest, not only because of the scandalous nature of the evidence relating to the eccentric young Wyndham's private life, but also because it had been brought by his own family. Wyndham, an only child, was born in August 1840 and was still a schoolboy at Eton when his father died in December 1854. According to inheritance law at the time, he was compelled to wait until he became of age on his 21st birthday to succeed the family's Norfolk estate. In August 1861, only 3 weeks after finally claiming his inheritance, he married Agnes Willoughby, a notorious courtesan whom he had met during a visit to Ascot. He had already begun to squander the sizeable income which he was set to receive from the Felbrigg estate, enjoying a playboy lifestyle and showering his new wife with gifts of money and jewellery. Within a matter of weeks, his uncle, General Charles Wyndham, who had previously acted as his guardian, took the decision to instigate legal proceedings into the state of mind of the 21-year-old. Young Wyndham's behaviour had been considered odd as far back as his school days at Eton, where he had first acquired the nickname of Mad Wyndham. He was well known by those who worked on the Great Eastern Line for frequenting the platforms of local railway stations dressed as a guard. Such was his enthusiasm for giving loud blasts on the whistle he carried with him that more than one unfortunate driver is said to have brought his train to an unnecessary halt. Similarly, when in London, Wyndham liked to dress as a police constable, taking delight in rounding up the capital's prostitutes late at night. However, General Wyndham's motives for bringing the case were called into question. If he could prove that his nephew was incapable of managing his own affairs, he would regain financial control of the family estate, and the way would be left open for one of his own sons to inherit Felbrigg Hall in due course. The case opened in the Court of Exchequer at Westminster on December 16, 1861. Over the next 34 days, every aspect of Wyndham's unorthodox private life was examined in minute detail, with some evidence being considered as so unfit to be heard by female ears that any woman present was advised to leave the court. That did not stop the public at large from lapping up every possible piece of information about the case. Like today, the British public's appetite for salacious celebrity gossip knew no bounds, and the pamphlets, which were specially printed to report the case, sold in their thousands. At first, Wyndham was portrayed as being a thoroughly nasty and unpleasant character, who was prone to sudden fits of violent temper, and known to mistreat his horse. He was described as eating more like a brute creature than a young man, sometimes consuming so much that he made himself physically sick. However, as the hearing progressed, the public tide of opinion began to turn in favour of Wyndham. A key moment came when, on the 12th day of the hearing, the petitioners, including General Wyndham, declined to enter the witness box and submit themselves to a public cross-examination. Instead, the jury heard multiple witnesses attesting to the fact that there was nothing peculiar about young Wyndham, other than perhaps he was exceedingly high-spirited. On the last day of the hearing, Wyndham underwent a grueling 4-hour mental test. He is reported to have astonished everybody by the readiness and intelligence of his answers. In the end, it came as no surprise when, to the sound of loud cheers, the jury pronounced him to be of sound mind. 6 weeks later, Wyndham was abruptly brought back down to earth when, despite having won the case, He was ordered by the court to pay the then eye-watering sum of £20,000 in legal fees. This, combined with Wyndham's love of the high life, meant that only 2 years later, he was forced to declare bankruptcy and sell Felbrigg Hall. By this time, his wife, Agnes, had already eloped with an Italian opera singer. He was compelled to move into a Norwich hotel, eventually taking a job as a driver on the coach to Cromer. Wyndham was known for his erratic driving, hardly surprising, perhaps, because, unable to cope with the loss of his fortune, he was slowly drinking himself to death. In February 1866, Wyndham died in his hotel room at the age of just 25. In truth, no member of the Wyndham family came well out of the notorious court case. However, subsequent press coverage of the dangerous precedent of declaring someone to be of unsound mind because he is wicked or debauched or a spendthrift led to significant changes in the way in which the law dealt with psychiatric illness.